Good morning. Another typical day. Do you guys like how we decorated? The church looks good. You guys ready for Christmas? It's coming, right? Would you stand with me this morning as we read from some scripture? We're going to be reading two from the New Testament, one from the Old. Philippians 4:6. You guys, this is where we're going to hang out today a bit. The Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Anyone starting to feel anxious? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, "Rejoice always." Are we rejoicing today? "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Psalm 9:1 it's awesome. "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We gather, Lord, in our homes and in the breezeway and here in the sanctuary to worship God. I'm reminded, Lord, of when you had Moses tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go so they can come worship me." It's your desire for us to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. This Sunday before Thanksgiving, God, we pause just to declare that you're a good God, that we trust you and we love you. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. We pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love God would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. And I want to thank you. So this morning, next week, we're going to finish up experiencing God, and we'll wrap that up. But this morning, we're going to have a special service, Thanksgiving service. And I need to have a pastor's moment with you a bit this morning. I want to, if you didn't get a chance to see my midweek message, Pastor Frank wants to thank all of you that contacted me this week, especially Monday, Tuesday, actually through the whole week. I thank you for those that called me, those that texted me, those that emailed me saying, "Pastor Frank, please don't close the church. Please don't close the church. Pastor Frank, I'm struggling with anxiety already. This isolation is bringing depression in my life. Please don't close the church. I need to be in the body of Christ." Thank you for those of you that sent me emails and text messages, sending me articles on how the judges in San Diego are ordering strip clubs to open, but churches are to close. Thank you for your emails to me of giving me your thoughts on how in states churches can't assemble, but casinos are allowed to open. Your thoughts on how our governor won't even obey by the very laws that he's asking us to obey by. Thank you for your thoughts on how our legislatures are partying in Maui while we're supposed to lock down. Please don't close the church. Please don't close the church. Pastor Frank, this seems hypocritical. I agree. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Thank you for the doctors that contacted me this week. Pastor Frank, I just want to let you know that with the protocols that we've set up at this church on 5000 Branca Parkway, people are safer coming here to worship God than they are to walk into Walmart or Albertsons or Ralph's. People being tested with their temperatures, people social distancing, people wearing masks. Just want to let you know, Pastor Frank, tell the leadership team, people are safer coming here than going anywhere else. Last Sunday, we gave a message on how does God speak to the church. And we learned that God speaks to a body of believers with the community of the believers and the leadership team seeking God together. And last Tuesday, we as a core staff sat out there in the court in our breezeway wearing our masks, social distancing. And I asked everybody, how did you feel about the new lockdown? And everybody went around and they just said, this is wrong. Our whole staff, this is wrong. Tuesday night, our whole leadership team got together. Our ministry staff said, don't close the church. That'd be our vote. Our leadership team talked for about a couple hours, and it was unanimous. We're going to open up the breezeway. People can worship outside in the breezeway. People can worship in their homes, but we will not deny access to anybody that wants to come into this sanctuary and worship God as long as you don't have a temperature, you're willing to wear a mask, and you'll social distance. As long as you're willing to commit to keep other people safe and that you're safe, we will not deny entry or access. That was a decision we made on Tuesday of this week. We don't take this lightly. You know, our desire has always been to keep people safe. That's as a shepherd, I want to keep people as healthy and safe as we possibly can. We need to worship God in a safe environment. And for this church body, we believe we can do that. We've followed every guideline that the government has asked of us, and they're good guidelines for the most part. We have done everything we possibly can to create an environment where people can come and worship God and be safe. In the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment says that Americans have been given the right to assemble and worship God. Not to go to a strip club or a casino, but to worship God. It's our right as an American. Put in the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. Our founding fathers realized that it is an essential service for Americans to worship God. And it's possible that our politicians in the 21st century has lost that value. I got an email that I was, "Hi, Pastor Frank, I just listened to your midweek message. I've been flying this month and we have a full airplanes." Here's a picture she sent me, stewardess of ours. This airplane's filled if you zoom in on it. "Hi, Pastor Frank. I just listened to your midweek message. I've been flying this month, and we have full airplanes, which you can sit next to a stranger for 6 hours. 185 packed. God bless you for not closing the church. My girlfriend just worked L.A. to Miami, a full 777. That's two aisles with 325 packed both ways. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. See, flying, that is legal, but this isn't? And we're social distancing? Something's wrong. You all are frustrated this week. I understand your frustrations. I'm with you. I get it. I get it." So there's your pastor's moment. So if you're willing to... we'll all enter into social disobedience together, right? Civil disobedience together. Hey, if we're going to worship God today, this is our God-given right. This is our God-given right. I just chalk this up to a year. Don't you? I just chalk it up to another frustration and disappointment of 2020. What a frustrating year. What a tough year. What a hard year. We all agree. You know, the pandemic has just brought insanity beyond belief. Hey, loss of life. There's a lot of wounded people, hurting people this year. People losing their jobs. People losing their wealth. 2 weeks ago, I sat down with a brother of mine in Christ who had, for 23 years, had started a business here in Southern California. And for 23 years, he had built this family business into something that was successful and profitable, and he just had to go declare bankruptcy. Him and his wife, three children. And to sit there and he says, Pastor Frank, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be an absolute mess. Tough year. Tough year. Loss of wealth. Loss of hopes. Loss of dreams. Talking with a sister in Christ earlier, Pastor Frank, I lost two friends this year to suicide. In her 20s. Both of them in their 20s. Pastor Frank, I don't know anybody who's died of this COVID virus, though there is. But this person was angry. But I have two of my friends that have died because of the lockdown. Angry and frustrated. The loss of hope and the loss of dreams. I understand. That's all I understand. I understand. What a year. What a year. I've been thinking lately about a brother of mine who accepted Jesus, and shortly after he did, his wife left him. And then he lost his job. He lost his reputation. Lost his wealth. And yet he kept following Jesus. He was whipped 5 different times with 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods because of his love for Christ. Once he was stoned by a crowd. People picked up rocks and threw rocks at him until they knocked him unconscious. At least. Some think he might have died. Christ brought him back. 3 times he was shipwrecked, and once he spent a night and a day adrift on the sea because of him being on the mission field. I was thinking about this brother of ours this week. Does anyone know this guy's name? Do you know what his Hebrew name is? Saul. His Greek name is Paul. He was called by Jesus as an apostle to the early church that was exploding 2,000 years ago. And the church of Jesus is exploding upon the face of the earth right now today as we speak. God in His sovereignty had this individual write half the New Testament. And most of them was written when he's in prison because of Christ. If there was ever a person that you would expect possibly to be a bit bitter or cynical about life, or someone that had a right to complain, wouldn't you expect it to be the Apostle Paul? And yet, when you enter into the mind and the heart of Paul, you'll find that's not his case at all. If you ever get a chance to just read the beginning of his letters, just the very beginning of every one of the letters that he wrote in the New Testament, you'll find a pattern. Romans 1:8, as Paul writes to the church in Rome, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. That's Romans. How about 1 Corinthians 1:4? I always thank God for you because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. Colossians 1:3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Philippians 1:4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer. Does anyone see a pattern? Shouldn't this man be bitter and cynical and has a right to complain about everything? And yet you enter into the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll read that's not his case at all. As a matter of fact, he's an incredibly grateful and thankful person. As a matter of fact, he instructs us as an apostle this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you want to know what God's will for you is this morning? In the year of 2020, do you want to know what God's will is for you this morning? If you want to take notes, please take notes with me. Here's note number one. Here's God's will for you this morning. Having a thankful heart is a part of God's will for your life. Having a thankful heart is a part of God's will for you life, your life. Are you a thankful person? Are you fighting for that one? It's kind of fun. If you look up the word thankfulness, Webster's defines this consciousness of benefit received. I'm conscious of a benefit received. I received a benefit and I'm conscious of it. That's thankfulness. I think as you and I approach the holiday season of Thanksgiving, we need to reflect on this truth. To be grateful and to be thankful to God today, this morning, right now in 2020, no matter what's going on. Are you a thankful person? Or let me put it this way. What do you think you take for granted that God has blessed you with? What do you think you take for granted that God has blessed you with? What should we be thankful to God for this morning? Take notes with me. How about this one? This is a good beginning. How about life and health? Life and health. Are you thankful to God for life today? Are you thankful to God for your health today? Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Do you realize that life is good? God says that Genesis 1, God creates life. It's good. It's good. God creates life. It's good. Does anyone have LG appliances? Life is good appliances, right? Life is good. God created life. He says, you know, this life thing's a good thing. Life is good. And life is to be cherished and celebrated. You're to be thankful for life today. A friend of mine who almost died of cancer a few years ago in our police department, chaplain, she's cancer free. Okay? Go talk to people that almost died and let them tell you what it's like to walk on this beautiful earth today. To see a sunset and say, God made that. The trees are a little bit greener. I stop and smell the roses because I get to. Things I took for granted, I don't anymore. Life is good today. Life is good today. What should you be thanking God for today? How about your life? You get to breathe and live today. And you only get so many days, friends. How about being grateful and thankful for every day that God gives you to live? And for the health that you have today? Do you know, I played golf on Friday, and my back was sore. I'm getting old. I actually played on Monday, and I was like, gosh, I'm like, what's it? But hey, I got to play golf. And who cares? So I'm getting a little old, and I get a little gray. This is all from my sons. But I have health today. I should be grateful and thankful for the health that I have today. How about you? Pastor Frank, I can't think of anything to give. I'm so angry at this year and I'm so upset with how a timeout. How about just thanking God for your life today? How about your health today? I can hear, I can see, I can smell, I can taste a double-double with grilled onions. You should be grateful. You should be thankful. You should be thankful. Did you all hear what's going on in Colorado? They just opened up an In-N-Out for the first one in Colorado and they're waiting for hours in line. Hours to get an In-N-Out burger. What should I be thankful for? For life. You should be thankful for your health today. God, thank you today that I get to live today. Take notes with me this morning. What should you be thankful to God for? How about your friends? How about your family? How about being thankful for the people that God put in your life that sacrificed for you? How about being grateful for the people God put in your life that loves you? That encourages you. That defends you. How about the thankful that for the people in your life that you get to enjoy life with? These people are a gift from God. Do you take for granted the people that God has put in your life? Because it's simple to do. It's easy to do. Your friends. Do you have good friends? You know, I was thinking about this. When I got married, I was so excited. Hey, I'm getting married. Sid and I are getting married December 16th, 1989. And I got my tux. I'm all ready to go. And we get married. And we have one reception here. And then we went to another reception. And then that night, I had to turn back in my tux. And I'm leaving on my honeymoon. We went to Kauai. And as we're getting ready, my best friend, Steve, I'm giving him my tux, and I realize I forgot shoes. I have no shoes to get on the airplane with. I have no shoes to go to Hawaii with. I forgot to pack shoes, and I'm giving him the rented shoes. Right? And I'm like, and you know what he did? He took off his shoes, and he gave me his shoes. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend like that? Luckily, my friend and I had the same size shoe. You know what? What should you be thankful for today? How about the people that God has put in your life to love you with and to encourage you with? Friends that sacrifice for you and give you their shoes and he drove home barefoot. Right? It's God's will for you to be thankful this morning. Grateful to God for life and health and for friends and for family. What should you be thankful to God for? How about, write this one down. How about God's provision and God's opportunity in your life? Are you grateful for God's provision and for God's opportunity in your life? Did you know that 80% of the world lives under some form of religious persecution today? 80% of the world lives under some form of religious persecution this morning. Do you realize that nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names? Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or to sign their names. How many people in here know how to read? Do you know how to sign your name? Cursive? You're blessed. You're blessed. Some 1.1 billion people in developing countries have inadequate access to water. And 2.6 billion lack basic sanitation. 2.6 billion people in the world today don't even have a toilet. Basic sanitation. 1.1 billion don't even have access to clean drinking water. How about you? Are you blessed? Are you blessed? How about thanking God for that? Number of children in the world, 2.2 billion. Number in poverty, 1 billion. Every second child in poverty. And praise God that we can send Christmas. This little church, this holding our place on the wall of the kingdom of God, is sending out over 1,000 Christmas boxes to kids. And this will be their only Christmas present this year. Well done, Woodbridge Community Church. I'm so proud of you. Way to go. Be in the church. How many of you in here have seen poverty? Has anyone actually seen poverty? If you walk down the walls of this church, we have a missions wall, and you look closely, you'll see that we as a church have missionaries all over the world, and we every week feed over 800 children in the Philippines at a dump in Manila, right? Pastor Carlos and Edna. Every week, we feed over 800 children in the Philippines at a dump outside of Manila called Payatas, or Smoky Mountain. Just recently, three typhoons. Does anyone know that three typhoons hit the Philippines back to back to back here in the last couple weeks? Anyone? Did anyone take a look at what it did? Here's a picture. Absolutely wiped out. Manila's underwater. People that are already struggling. People that are already poor. And now their homes are flooded. We just sent a big chunk of money to help out the missionary agencies that we have there. I love this church. Have you ever seen poverty? Have you ever seen it with your own eyes? You know, I still remember this. The first time this happened to me, the first time I entered into poverty, it absolutely radically changed my life. I was a student at Biola University. We had a group of students that were going down to Mexico to TJ for the day with our Christian Ed department. Dr. Anthony was taking us down there. A guy named Von Truxler in Spectrum Ministries. And, there must have been maybe 50 Biola students. And we went down to TJ for the day. And they had water trucks. We were giving people baths. And it was real humbling for me, a kid that was born in Southern California, who to see shallow graves of children at the dumps in Manila. To get there, and this mom was so grateful that we had brought milk, and she was saying, I was praying that God would give me milk today so I could feed my baby. Thank you. And I immediately began feeling embarrassed for the prayers that I had that day and that week. Here's my prayers going up before God, and here's this mother and TJ praying that God would provide her milk to feed her baby. And I don't even see how both those prayers can ascend to God, and God couldn't be just absolutely angry with me. I was feeling embarrassed. And I was moving from asking things of God to being thankful for the things I have, like that. Have you seen poverty? See, my brother and my sister this morning, it is not a sin that we have clean water. It is not a sin that we can read and we can write. It's not a sin that we have food and shelter and that we live in a nation of prosperity and freedom and liberty. But what is wrong is if we aren't at least grateful and thankful for the provident blessing of God in our lives, then it's wrong. Do I hear an amen? Do you realize it's God's will for you to be thankful this morning? What do I possibly have a right to be thankful for today, Pastor Frank? Think with me. Think with me. Do we all realize how blessed we are today? All of us. And are we at least grateful and thankful to God for God's provision and blessing? See, I pray that this week you will go from asking things of God to thanking things for God. God, just thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you. I'm so blessed for this. I want you to be thankful for the small things. I want you to be thankful for the small things. Like a pillow. And a hot shower. And blankets. You open your refrigerator. And you're thankful. The small things. Thankful for your the people in your life that God put in your life to love you. Thankful today that you're healthy. Thankful today that you get to live and where you get to live and how you get to live. Thankful. This is God's will for you. I pray that all of us this week would our prayers to God would be prayers of gratefulness and thankfulness. We're conscious of a benefit received. We are aware of the benefits received and we're thankful. There's nothing better to a parent than when their kids say thank you for something. Do I hear an amen, parents? There's nothing sadder to a parent when their child takes for granted their blessings and treats their parents with blind contempt. May that not be the way with God's parent, God's kids. Can we be thankful to our Father for what He's done for us? May God open our eyes and help us to realize all the goodness in our lives, even in 2020, even this year. I'm telling you, friends, you're blessed. Do you see it? Think about it for a moment. Of all the people on planet Earth, you in here should be the most grateful of all. You should be thankful to God, and you are. Note number 5, how about eternal life? Anyone thankful for eternal life? Of all the people walking on planet Earth today, you should be the most grateful, thankful people of all, you who live in America, who live in California, who live in Orange County, who live in Irvine, in this area by the Pacific Ocean, and you're a Christian? Who should be the most grateful and thankful of all? You who understand that there's a God that made you and created you. A God that loves you and sacrifices for you. You have knowledge of the One. And His sacrifice for you, right? His love for you. Are you loved today? Are you provided for today? Anyone? I don't know, Pastor Frank, if God loves me or not. Really? 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 Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Paul lost everything. And he says, I gained everything. The Apostle Paul, if there was a person that had a right to be cynical, bitter, complaining all the time about life, it's the Apostle Paul. And yet when you meet the dude, you find that he's actually radically grateful and thankful. He's living a life of gratitude and a life of thankfulness. Do you know why? Because he understands God. Even in a prison in Rome, he would write, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful. See, I think the secret to the Apostle Paul is found in Philippians 4:6. Paul writes this from jail. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I like that. There's a sequence in all that. Do you know it's hard to be anxious and to be thankful at the same time? It's science. They claim that the brain, there's two different pathways. People that travel down anxiety, that these synaptic pathways go this way. But if you're entering into gratefulness, it goes down a completely different highway in your brain. It's hard to be anxious and thankful at the same time. You're either going to be one or the other. It's cool how Paul knew that. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, how do I do that? In every situation, prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, then ask. I'm thankful, then ask. I'm thankful, then ask. There's always going to be things in the world that we want God to change. Am I right? We can look at right now and I have a list of things, God, I have a list of things I'd like for you to change. There's a list of things I'd like for you to do. And Paul, writing in Rome, had a bunch. And he says, don't be anxious. Pray always. Make your petition with thankfulness. Tell God what you're after. Tell God what you're praying for with thankfulness. With thankfulness. Being thankful for what I have today. Being thankful for the present as I look to the future. People, you have so much, if you just think about the present state of your life, there's a lot to be grateful and thankful for. Forget about asking God for anything else. How about just being grateful for what you have today? And this was the secret to the Apostle Paul. He says, Paul even writes, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret. Jesus has taught me the secret. I need to be grateful and thankful for what I have. And with that, I can petition and ask God for what could be. Isn't that good? Thankfulness forces us to look back. Thankfulness forces us to pause and just be thankful to God for the benefits received today, no matter what could come or not come tomorrow. Note number 6. Take this note with me. Thankfulness has the power to change our attitude. Thankfulness has the power to change our attitude. And how important is attitude, parents? How important is attitude, husbands and wives? How important is attitude, you who own businesses and have employees? How important is attitude? Ask Moses. When the people of Israel did nothing but complain, God just was sick of it. He led them out of slavery in Egypt. Just read Exodus. And how the people complained and complained and complained. And God says, you weary me. There's something awesome about a good attitude of just being thankful for the things you have. Being thankful changes our attitudes. Just helps us to reflect on what we have. When I was teaching at Biola University as an adjunct professor, I taught a class called BBST 103, Biblical Interpretation and Spiritual Formation. Wonderful. I had the privilege to pour into 42 freshmen in my class every fall semester, freshmen. And we would teach them how to what the Bible is and the systems of interpretation, hermeneutics. How do you interpret the Bible, right? How do you interpret the Bible? Hey, honey, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know, babe. I'll have anything. Pastor Frank will eat wood. Pastor Frank will eat straw. No, it's in context. What do you got, babe? I'll eat anything. How do you interpret the Bible? I taught on biblical interpretation and spiritual formation. And 1 week for all my students, we talked about the spiritual formation of thankfulness. All week, they had to read articles on the spiritual discipline to be grateful and to be thankful. And then they would enter into a time of I want you to practice this discipline. You know that being thankful is a spiritual discipline, just like reading the Bible and prayer? You have to train your mind to be thankful. It's a spiritual discipline or a means of grace. We as human beings have a tendency to just push aside being thankful, and we keep looking at what we want and never reflecting upon what we have. It's just a typical trait of fallen humanity. It's a spiritual discipline to train our minds to say, I am grateful today. I am thankful today. We have to learn this. And Paul did. Are you grateful? Are you a thankful person? Are you a person that complains all the time? Are you a bitter, cynical individual that claims the name of Jesus? If so, then you have a lot to learn. There's a spiritual discipline you need to start working out in your mind, and it's called being thankful for all the things that God's given you today. Being grateful for everything that you have. What do I have a right to be thankful for today, Pastor Frank? How dare, How about life and your health? How about your friends and your family? How about your provision? How about your pillow and your hot shower and carpet? Your refrigerator? How about Jesus? How about eternal life? Psalm 1. Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I want you to say that with me this morning. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Let's say that again. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. And I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. All your wonderful deeds? All of them. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. And I will speak with my mouth. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. This morning, the worship team is going to come up and we're going to sing a song called Give Thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. And you know what? We're going to sing this song a couple times through. And then I'm going to have you practice this discipline. Those of you that are watching at home, those of you that are in the breezeway, those of you in civil disobedience here with me this morning, we're going to sing a song and then we're going to practice Psalm 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart and I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I want you to think of things that you're thankful to God for. You know what your Father wants to hear from you today? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. That's what he wants. Thanksgiving's coming this week. Thankfulness. It's not a sin that you live where you live and the things you have. But what is a sin is if you take it all for granted. That's wrong. To be grateful and to be thankful. Let's sing.